In previous installments of our series on affordable housing, we learned about policy goals to address affordability, building more housing overall, building more housing for low and moderate income tenants, and strengthening tenant protections. In the final installment of our series, WBUR's Kainat Khan reports on another idea, purchasing units on the private rental market and making them affordable.
In 2012, Alma Chisholm had just moved to an apartment in Dorchester's Four Corners when she had an unexpected visitor.
A gentleman came to our house.
She buzzed him into the building and stepped onto her third floor landing to see what he wanted.
He was yelling up to me, "Hi, if I buy this place, do you guys still want to live here?"
Chisholm was puzzled. She didn't know what he was talking about. She did a little internet research.
And sure enough, I found out the house was foreclosed and it was being auctioned.
The auction was scheduled for 2 days later. Chisholm remembers people gathering on her front yard.
They showed up with clipboards and megaphones, and they were really starting to have this auction. I stayed home and I couldn't believe it.
Her landlord, who lived in the bottom unit, hadn't said anything about the foreclosure.
The next thing I know, another set of people came and got out of their cars and told them to stop.
These new people were with City Life Vida Urbana, the housing justice organization. The group's protests led to the auction being called off. During the foreclosure crisis, City Life held rallies and provided legal assistance to push banks to reduce debts and sell houses back to foreclosed homeowners. Lisa Owens is City Life's executive director.
And if the homeowner still didn't have the resources to buy back their building, we would ask a nonprofit entity to hold on to the building so that the land could be held in perpetuity and that the tenants could stay.
A nonprofit formed to do just this, purchase foreclosed homes and help tenants stay housed. It was called COHIF, Coalition for Occupied Homes in Foreclosure. Chisholm's building was one of the first COHIF bought. The nonprofit now owns 6 properties in Dorchester, amounting to 15 units of permanently affordable housing for low-income tenants. Financing the acquisition and rehabilitation of the foreclosed properties required cobbling together money from private lenders and government funding, including from the city of Boston. Sheila Dillon leads Boston's Department of Neighborhood Development, the city agency in charge of affordable housing.
As we build a lot of affordable housing, we also need to ensure that tenants that are here now, that are living in residential buildings, are protected from rent increases. And one way to do that is to take apartment buildings out of the speculative market.
Much of this money comes from a fund the city requires developers to pay into if they don't build affordable housing themselves.
So we've really focused our energies and resources to have nonprofits and some for-profits that are in the affordable housing business to buy occupied buildings and keep the rents affordable.
But coming up with the money fast enough is a barrier, and an owner has the option not to take a nonprofit's bid. Often, nonprofits get outbid by investors or developers with deeper pockets. A proposed city law might lower this barrier by giving tenants' associations the first shot to purchase a building or ask a nonprofit to step in. But tenants would need to get organized and form an association. For Owens at City Life, this is going to be the way to get more buildings off the market.
There is no way that we are going to amass enough capital to buy land at its current market value. The only way to get land at scale is through organizing.
City Life's approach has 2 prongs. The first is to bring public attention and pressure to landlords or banks who they believe are engaging in practices that harm tenants or homeowners. The second is to provide legal assistance to tenants and foreclosed homeowners so they can negotiate an agreement to stay in their homes. Building clearouts are a key rallying point. An owner will raise the rent to evict tenants and then sell the building once it's empty. City Life will try to stop a clear out or encourage a seller to take a nonprofit's bid on the building. Some people might feel uneasy about City Life's tactics. Shouldn't property owners be able to do whatever they want to with their buildings? Why is making the largest profit possible such a bad thing? The answer, say others, is because a home is not like other property. Rashmi Dialchand is a law professor at Northeastern, and she says a home has different values for different people.
For the people who are living in it, they could value a place because they're community, right, with whom they associate live close by. And that's something that can't be picked up and relocated in the way that we sometimes ask people to do.
She argues that we think too narrowly about what makes property valuable. We think about property as its cash value on the market.
You can't necessarily do that with certain kinds of things. They have more personal value that can't be captured by trading them in for one of 100 other things that seem, you know, sort of objectively to be similar.
It's these other aspects of property, the things that make it special or unique, that our laws have a harder time protecting. Because our laws generally privilege market value over other aspects of property, they protect ownership. It's hard for our policies to conceive of the rights of non-owners, people like renters. It's one reason why rent control is unpopular. It constrains owners' ability to maximize market value. It's why we might feel discomfort when groups like City Life try to force a negotiation by calling out a landlord for practices that are legal, but what some may see as unfair.
What we have to do at a basic level is just acknowledge, right, that homes mean something other than tradable commodities.
Yul Chan says ownership has never meant being able to do anything with your property. Landlords can't discriminate on the basis of race. In Massachusetts, there are laws governing landlords' obligations to their tenants, such as providing heat and sanitary conditions. Why couldn't being a responsible property owner mean not levying rent increases that would so burden tenants, resulting in displacement? New Jersey has a law making such rent increases that shock the conscience, illegal.
If we all started to think about ownership as requiring a certain higher level of stewardship, that would be a really interesting and wonderful thing.
Can you just tell me about these photographs up here on your shelf?
Okay. These are pictures of my grandchildren and my grandmother.
Chisholm, okay. Whose apartment was almost auctioned, still lives in Four Corners in a different Cohiff building. She lives with her partner, Bert, and her youngest daughter in a three-bedroom apartment. Her living room is decorated with family photos.
I have three grandsons and one granddaughter. Layla is my granddaughter. And there's Jahani, Dominic, and Sebastian. He just turned one.
Chisholm says that living in her Cohiff unit is the first time she felt like she could hang pictures on the wall. The first time she felt she could buy lawn furniture to leave outside. Because of her experience with housing instability and then being able to get her home back, she's become involved with community organizing herself, going to meetings, volunteering her time with City Life.
There's so many organizations out there, and all trying to do the same thing, trying to prevent people being displaced, you know, trying to get better jobs, trying to get, you know, affordable rents or what have you. So amazing. And if we unite, I think we could really do it.
Chisholm is nearing 60. She's lived in a series of apartments in Dorchester her whole life. She raised her five children in the neighborhood, taking them to Franklin Park, going to their sports games, taking them to cookouts with neighbors. In all likelihood, she won't ever have to worry about losing her home. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kainat Khan.